Hello, sir.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes, sir. What is your name so that we can get started, sir?
My name is Julio Zaragoza.
Okay, hold 1 second. I believe that the Honorable Mr. Kawanis will be conducting your hearing, sir.
Mr. Zaragoza?
Yes, sir.
Just give me 1 minute. I'm getting my paperwork in order.
Okay.
Okay, sir. Can you state your name and ADC number for the record?
My name is Julio Zaragoza. I'm 37 years old. My DOC number is 307724.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on October 13th, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Correct.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Hearing your attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself today.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. We're authorized for a 3-member panel today, and in the room is the Honorable Michael Johnson, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Sanders, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Zaragoza and Mr. Sanders, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do, yes.
Thank you. Mr. Zaragoza, this hearing will be conducted in 2 phases. Phase 1 will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with Phase 2 deciding your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin Phase 1 by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. I will begin Phase 1 by reading from the warrant. According to the warrant of arrest, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal razor company as follows. Allegation number 1, violation of condition 12G, as demonstrated by your failure to report to your assigned parole officer within 1 working day after your discharge from residence at V-Ray, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about July 27, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you are an absconder from supervision. Mr. Zaragoza, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Zaragoza's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. Okay, Mr. Zaragoza, we're going to move forward with the second phase of the hearing. During this phase, you will have a chance to speak with the board in detail. During this phase, we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by, as Mr. Sanders, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you momentarily. Mr. Sanders.
Mr. Zaragoza was released on 6/30 of 2017 with a date of arrest of 9/12 of 2017 by the United States Marshal's Office. No new charges. He was back in DOC custody on 9/28 of 2017 with an adjusted CSCP of 2/14 of 2018, reflecting 47 days of abstention time. His current conviction in 2016 was a misconduct involving weapons, receiving 2 years. No prior convictions, first term in DOC, CUIR scores of 3-3, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. He's a self-admitted member of the North Torino East Side Modesto criminal street gang. Let's go back here. When he was arrested by the U.S. Marshal's Office, he was arrested in San Bernardino, California. And he was arrested on an old San Bernardino County probation violation warrant as well as our town warrant. That probation violation has subsequently been successfully completed in court. First term, self-admitted, and prior terms of supervision were none. Disciplinary violations are minimal. However, he does have one upon his return on 10-6-17 for a positive or refusal of EUA, guilty of a major. Other arrest information, 1999, domestic violence, California, felony conviction, probation. 2004, burglary, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2008, controlled substance violation, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2014, burglary, second degree, Oklahoma, felony conviction, state prison. Has a G3 V4 score. And as I said, the detainer, San Bernardino, was dropped. They no longer display an interest in the offender.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. Back to you, Mr. Saragossa. I will go through a quick review of your case supervision summary. I see that you were approved to live at Beaver Halfway House, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona. This is your only approved address. Did you live anywhere else while you were on community supervision, Mr. Saragossa?
Besides the one that was on Elm Street?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
No, that was the only one that, for the address, goes. But I've already requested for a different halfway house if I was to be released or continue on supervision.
Thank
you. Usually I apply to the report assistance.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. We don't have any verified employment. Did you work at all when you were outside of the prison system?
Yes, I was working for waste management. And surprise.
And how long did you work there, sir?
I was only there for a week, sir.
Okay. According to your programming notes, you were assigned the task of random drug testing, assigned the color ivory. You submitted a negative urine specimen on July 25th, 2017. On July 25th, you referred to CAP for substance abuse treatment. You missed only scheduled, you missed a scheduled group meeting on July 26th, 2017 prior to absconding. So I will begin by saying you were missing from community supervision for 47 days. What was going on during that time, sir?
I went back to California. My girlfriend, she has cancer, and she's been really sick, so I spent some time with her. At the same time, she also, we have two adopted children, so I kind of went home and, get to meet them, get to know them a little bit. At the same time, I was just trying to evaluate what was going on with myself. I'm not from Arizona. I had only been out here during the time that I was incarcerated. So, needed to say I was just a little homesick. But at the same time, I was already trying to figure out how I was going to go about returning back, because firstly, I've never absconded before. This is my very first time. And I've been going to prison since 2000. And this is the very first time I've ever had an absconding. I don't like to abscond because it just stops the clock and me getting terminated from parole. I was seeking a job. I was going to work for a Best Western motel right there in Clearlake, California. And other than that, not very much, sir. I was just being at home.
Okay, sir. Not to make light of your situation, but it sounds like you've served in three different prison systems. Did you prefer any prison system more than the other?
As far as what?
Like, serving in Oklahoma, California, and Arizona.
I've never been to Oklahoma.
Oh, I thought it said that you did the...
Yes, sir.
I prefer no prison period.
I'm saying, which prison system did you find most comfortable?
Neither one.
Thank you, sir. Again, not trying to make light, but we don't always get individuals that have served in more than one system. I think it goes without saying, because you know that you absconded, that leaving the state is also an issue. You did not have an interstate compact, so you left the state without approval.
But, sorry not to cut you off, but may I explain myself how
yes,
it
sir.
Came to be as far as me absconding, like what drove me to that point?
Yes, this is your hearing and we want to hear from you.
So, can I do it right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, see, what happened was is that I ain't from Arizona, for one, so I don't know how it is as far as your guys' system works. You know, I'm already used to how California works, but, you know, outside of California, I'm in Arizona, so I have to adapt to your guys' ways of, you know, protecting our parole or whatnot. When I parole, I'm a recovering drug addict, okay? I'm trying to be sober. Because I'm already tired of this lifestyle, for one. I'm 37 years old. I don't plan to ever come back after this one. But when I paroled to 27th in Camelback. I don't know or didn't know whatsoever what that environment was until I got there. And then when I got there, that whole place is flooded with drugs and negative. Just the vibe there was bad. Second, I had to buy my parole officer at the time that I can't be around there because all there is just negative. It's all negativity as far as crime and drugs. I also had a, what do you call the people that DDS or what is it? For people that DDS thing? DDS people. I paroled from Sunrise in Lewis where it was in a transitional yard. So right there, I had already completed whatever program they had for me, and they helped me get a job. But when I was on the street, there's the halfway house, I had called one of the ladies that even told her if there's any way that she could help me get out of this environment because it's not good for me. You know, I had trouble adapting to an environment that was flooded with drugs. So once I moved, and at the same time when I paroled, it took me at least 2 weeks to withhold the ID, Arizona ID. Once I got a hold of my ID, I went to the Social Security office where I got my Social Security card. Right there and then, the very next day after that, I had already got a job. Okay, but by that time, I've already been out 3 weeks. I did everything I was supposed to do as far as my parole was. But again, I felt victim and subject to the negativity and the stress that was around in that area. It's not a good place for a person like myself to be, but I had to find out the hard way. After the day of this incident, when this occurred, one of the gentlemen that I lived with, DOD from, you there?
Yes, we're listening.
Okay. There was another subject there that he OD'd off drugs, and I helped him. I could have been thinking about myself and be selfish and just let him be right there and just didn't do nothing, but I'm not like that, you know what I'm saying? So I helped this gentleman, and after that, the drug tested me, yes, and I felt, yes, I did, you know, and then after that, I went and I got cleared. The very next day, I went to see my parole officer, which he had told me, okay, this is what we're going to do for you, we're going to help you, we're going to put you in a program. I said, that's perfect. I work 5 days a week or 6 days a week, and I was supposed to go Tuesday and Thursday, and I said, that's great, I'm good with that, I'm perfect with that. When I returned from there, from his office, he already knew that I was going to be kicked out of the halfway house. I wish that he would have let me know firsthand, like, look, you're going to be kicked out. And then that way I wouldn't be in that predicament that I was. But before I left him, he was like, everything was fine. I went to the halfway house.
Okay, sir, I'm going to ask you to sum this up.
They told me, you're out of here. You can't stay here. Get your stuff. Basically, if they get your shit, hit the street, word for word, excuse my language. After that, I told him, but what about the other guy? Well, the other guy was able to stay. He got referred to the rehab part of the program, which you don't have to self-pay no more. But you can't stay, you gotta go. So my girlfriend came in from out of town to visit me, and I told her, hey, they just kicked me out on the street. She said, just get your things and let's go home. And that's a true story.
Okay, sir. I do appreciate your honesty with the board. You gave us a very detailed account of what led to your decision. It sounds like that you may have relapsed or had some sort of setback with your drug use.
I did, yes. I wish that I would have got, I wanted to help more than anything. You know, I seek help. I don't refuse help. I know that I have a problem, and I believe that I'm going to be an addict for the rest of my life, and I won't deny any type of form of help. I need help. When I was thrown on the street, I don't know nothing of Arizona, especially in Phoenix, especially that side of town. I was just stunned. I was shocked. You know, that the system that, it to me, felt like a failed system. But I believe now that if I was to give them the chance enough to go out, I already know what I need to do and what's expected of me and how to go about that to not come back to this type of an environment.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
Okay.
I have no questions from my two fellow board members. We're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before going to discussion? But do keep in mind, you shared quite a bit of information with us, and we ask that you don't repeat yourself in the interest of time management. But this is your hearing, so is there anything else you would like to share?
I would just like to say thank you for having the time to hear me out. And personally, I feel that if you need to give me a second chance, an opportunity to go back out there, then I won't disappoint you, because I feel now that I know what is expected of me.
Thank you, Mr. Saragossa. The board's going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you, especially because we're on the telephone. We operate under the open meeting laws. We want you to listen in, but it's the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. So if you'll just remain quiet, stay on the phone, and we'll come back to you shortly with a decision.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Saragossa. Fellow board members, I'd like to begin by saying that I do want to give some encouragement here. I like what I'm hearing from Mr. Saragossa about where he's at, where he's arrived. He sounds like an individual who's ready to seek whatever help is available to him, and that he feels done with the prison lifestyle and the street life, and I think that's a positive thing. Unfortunately, he did abscond out of state. That's hard to ignore. Not to run him down, because we recognize that there is some struggles returning to normalcy when people are trying to get away from their drug habits, especially, he didn't say which, but you know, when there's methamphetamine, heroin or cocaine, which are strongly addictive, and we know the comeback can be rocky. But there's other issues that we just have to take into consideration as to whether or not he's suitable for community supervision in Arizona. He already has had a major when he returned to the prison system for a positive or refusal. He left the state before. He had a relapse. He's got an extensive history outside of the state, so we can't simply say this is his first time. And what my conclusion is that I'm not finding him suitable for community supervision, but I will say that he has about 3 months left of his flat prison sentence. If he takes advantage of his time to concentrate on his return plan or any planning that he needs to do for his return to California, he'll be free and clear to leave the state, pursue his own plans, without community supervision or parole, and we would hope that he would have a safe and productive return to the community. That's where I'd like to begin the discussion.
I agree.
Okay, thank you, fellow board members. That being stated, I'm going to make a motion, and that is based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W2594, our discussion with Mr. Saragossa, or detailed discussion, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Saragossa was delinquent, but under the terms and conditions of supervision, and as much that he absconded for 47 days, was picked up by the Marshals Service in California, had a probation violation at least at the time, and certainly has not had a smooth transition back to the prison system, and that he had lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Saragossa, your supervision has been revoked and you'll be released on or about February 14, 2018. That's just about 3 months away. If you did not hear the discussion, we encourage you to take advantage of the remainder of your prison sentence to pursue any programming, put together a plan for your return to the community. It sounds like you still have your girlfriend. Under this plan, you'll be coming out free and clear, so to speak. If you don't have any more problems inside the prison system, you can return to California and pursue your own will. We do wish you a successful return to the community. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. We wish you the best. Thank you for appearing before this board. And if you could, please give the phone back to your CO3. Thank you, sir.
Sir, you ready to come?